Good morning. We're here with Chris Bridges, the Employment Readiness Program Manager, and she's going to be telling us about some employment readiness resources this morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, ma'am. And what are some of the resources you have for us?
We have so many in-person and virtual resources for everybody in this footprint to use. If you are attached to the Garrison's mission in any way, we can help you. So if you are currently seeking employment, we can talk to you about networking. We can talk to you about job search. We can talk to you about things that you can work on in terms of professional development to make yourself more competitive. And of course, we can do this all in person, or we can do it virtually over the phone, platform of your choice, whatever works best for you.
And what are some, like, what is like a good resource to say someone who's just transitioning out of the military? Where can they go to find out information about like jobs that they could take?
It can be overwhelming, right? When you start to think about getting out. Mm-hmm. I know when I was leaving the active duty, I was very much overwhelmed and I just really did not know where to look. And so the first step I think is just reaching out to ACS to find out about different things that might help you. And then to start to look at what you already have. And there are a lot of really easy and free things that we can do right off the bat to say, okay, this is what you're strong in, this is what you're interested in, this is where your values are. And here are some areas where we might look for opportunities for you post-military. Here are places that really value veterans. Here are good scholarship and grant opportunities. You know, you want to start your own business, there are some really great TAP programs out there as well. Also, if there's one thing that COVID did for us, it really made a lot of our virtual resources more robust. So great for the Benelux because we're here and they're there. So yes. There are a lot of really good things out there, and we don't know what we don't know. So the best place to start is here with ACS, and then we can help get you pointed in the right direction.
And we have more great advice coming up about military employment transition, so keep it here. Chris Bridges, the Employment Readiness Program Manager, she's here to fill us in on the Military Employment Transition Program.
Thanks. All right, so with employment transition, mostly when we're thinking about that, we're thinking about active duty military transitioning to the next career after. And you know, we don't have a transition office here in the Benelux, our servicing transition office out of Wiesbaden. We do have some resources that are closer to us that oftentimes share with us their transition services. Now, in addition to that, there are things that we can do to help you get set up for success. And a lot of times when I talk to people who are in the transition process, they say, oh, I should have done this X number of years ago. I should have already gotten this to you. I'm way, way behind. And, you know, admittedly, the best time to start planning our exit from active duty is when we raise our right hand. The second best day is today. So wherever you are in the process, if you're thinking about employment transition or thinking about leaving active duty and figuring out what the next thing to do is, today's a great day to start.
So what would you say to people that aren't quite sure what they're going to do outside of the military? What would you say to them to help them figure out where they should go or what they should do?
It's overwhelming, right?
It is.
But the world is...
I don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. It doesn't matter if you've been in for 2 years or 22. And that's okay. There are over 1,200 different career fields. And within each of those fields, there are so many occupations. And so it's hard to think about. And most of us only know about between 12 and 20 different types of jobs. Doing some career searches that are unshackled from whatever your skill identifier is in the military can really, really open up your eyes. One thing I really love is the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I love to go to the Occupational Outlook Handbook and just start searching for jobs. And it's something you can spend 5 minutes or 5 hours on. I wouldn't make that your only job searching tool, but really just to open your eyes and see what's available out there. We've had so, so many success stories come out of little searches that started that way. People who never thought that they could do what they're now doing after the military. It's really exciting.
I know, right? Because it's funny that you mentioned it, because Pat Sajak was actually a radio DJ at one point. He was a Army DJ. Mm-hmm. So he ended up doing and running a game show after that. And it's kind of like mind-blowing to think like, oh, he was in the exact same position as me at one point, and now he's like about to retire mm-hmm. from this head. The same game show, and then what's Ryan Seacrest is going to take over after?
And so, what a run he's had.
I know, right? Yeah. Years upon years, a very successful, what is it? Wheel of Fortune, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. I think it's Wheel of Fortune.
Anyway, yeah.
I don't remember.
He made a really good go of it. And right? And there are a lot of ways that we all can make a really good go of it. You know, to figure out again what our aptitudes, interests, work values are, and then find careers that suit us, and then figure out how to get from where we are now to where we want to be.
Right. And we've got more music and tips coming up. We're here with Chris Bridges, the Employment Readiness Manager, and she's filling us in on spouse employment development, how your spouse can, or you can, get employed and developed.
So whether you're a military spouse, DOD spouse, or even Department of State spouse, when you are moving around in support of that sponsor, a lot of times you have to pick up, you know, cut ties, start again, reinvent yourself. And the result is pretty obvious. Military spouses tend to be chronically underemployed or unemployed, regardless of, you know, what their experience, educational background, training, that kind of thing. And it's really, really magnified here because of the way that our, you know, our footprint is set up and the number of jobs that are actually allocated for military spouses or anybody to have a job here. So it can be quite challenging and a little bit discouraging when you get here and you try to find a job. And, you know, I'd have some background in that, too, because I was a trailing military spouse who came here and really had trouble getting traction, finally finding a way in. And that's really what it's all about, looking for that way in. And so over the years, we've really developed some extremely effective tools to help people who have come here with somebody else find suitable employment, find that way in, whether it's general schedule employment, working for non-appropriated fund, or contracting.
Right. And I think it is all about getting your foot in the door. And then once you have your foot in the door, it's a lot easier to open up the door than trying to push it open from the get-go. So
absolutely.
It's very good. And we've got more music and more coming up. We're here with Chris Bridges, the Employment Readiness Program Manager, and she's going to give us some tips on resume and interview prep.
Thank you. So when it comes to writing resumes, and it's something that everybody has to do eventually, a lot of people approach it with a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, trepidation. But to be honest, it shouldn't ever really be easy. This is something you want to come at thoughtfully. You want to make sure that you're communicating your value and what you have expertise in based on the needs, the stated needs of the people who have the thing you want, whether it's a job, a grant, a scholarship, what you need to open your own business. We were talking about entrepreneurship while the music was playing. And so it should never be easy, but we can do a lot to make it more simple. We can do a lot to make it more natural to you so that you know what to do. It's not a mystery. And if it's a federal resume, it should be somewhere between 3 and 5 pages long, whether your work history is 2 years or 22 years long. If it is a non-federal resume, we're talking 1 to 2 pages. And also we got to look at what their instructions say. And the same thing goes for interview prep. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end to every interview. And it doesn't matter what kind of job you're applying for, the interview is going to follow the same basic stages. And so we can take a lot of the guesswork out of these things and help you be a lot more successful. And nothing bad can ever happen in any of this. So I want to put that out there clearly so everybody understands, whether you're feeling stressed about the resume or getting ready for the interview, nothing bad's going to happen, only good things.
Right. Because even if they say no, like, that's the worst thing they could possibly
say. Exactly. You're not any worse off than you were before.
Exactly. Because if you didn't even try in the first place, it was automatically a no.
Exactly. So, exactly.
And I think it's interesting now, because with the generative AI and that kind of stuff now, you can't get it to write it for you, but you can get a good outline. You can get a good, like, starting point using AI. You can say, hey, can you write me a resume or 1 to 2 page resume for this, and it'll give you basically an outline, and then you go in and actually, like, fill it in with what you actually have done. And it may not be, like, perfect, but you can get it to, like, a good point, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was messing around just to see what would happen, and what AI generated for me for a particular job. A lot of it was kind of nonsensical, but you're right. The format was easy to modify to use for real. So, you know, if you're not a words on paper kind of person, that can be a tool that we can use. But you just want to be really careful about it, because if you use those things, you are giving the, you know, whoever owns that platform, you're giving them every single bit of information about yourself.
Oh, yeah,
so we also want to be really careful when we're using those kinds of things, and also judicious when we are applying for opportunities. We got to make sure they're legitimate.
Right. Yeah. No, I wouldn't actually like use it. Like, I wouldn't put my info in it. I would just like ask it to generate one and then put my info in after, like
exactly.
On a separate document. Right. But got that and more coming up. Chris Bridges, the Employment Readiness Program Manager, is going to fill us in on the job list that she puts out.
Thank you. So once a week, I try to put out two lists on the ACS Facebook page. It's the U.S. Army Garrison Benelux ACS Facebook page. And one is for U.S. citizens, and the other one is for host nation local nationals. The host nation local nationals site is down right now for maintenance, but they are working on it. Hopefully in the next few days, they'll be able to start posting those positions, because we do have jobs available to Belgians, anybody who's an EU or NATO member nation citizen. The only people we can't employ are folks who aren't any of those categories, or if you are a dual national, U.S. and Belgian or U.S. and the Netherlands, we unfortunately, because the way the SOFAs are written, we can't employ those folks. But everybody else, now I say everybody else, our jobs lists, you know, we have a few jobs here, a few jobs there, and a lot of them are really good. Now, if it happens that there are no suitable opportunities for you at the time, especially if you are a military spouse, we do have programs that we're partnering with the Military Spouse Employment Partnership. There's a lot of really good development, you know, jobs prepping you for when you do perhaps go back to the States. We also have a really interesting program, Military Spouses Career Advancement Account Program, MyCAA. This is, you know, the eligibility is a little bit restricted, that, you know, it's not open to everyone, but financial assistance up to $4,000 that can be used for get an associate's degree, an occupational license or credential. And I put a lot of information about the CECO programs up on the ACS Facebook page as well.
Yeah, I think my wife actually used the MyCAA, because I remember that she used it to get a vet tech like certification.
Awesome. And mm-hmm. She may not be able to use it here necessarily,
right.
But, you know, we can do things like rack and stack for when you go back. And mm-hmm. Now, if none of those other things apply for you, we can always do volunteer opportunities. We have a really robust and strong volunteer program here where we can get you set up on the Army Family Web Portal, tracking your hours, getting you approved to work, you know, wherever you want to work in your field, if it's available. That's great for the resume. And it also helps you find those opportunities before they're listed anywhere for paid jobs.
True, because if you're already working there as a volunteer, like I've heard so many stories about people being in volunteer positions and then they end up actually working there because they're like, wow, you're a great worker.
Exactly.
You proved it. And now we're just going to hire you.
Most opportunities aren't listed anywhere. And so finding out about them before, you know, the rest of the world is an excellent way to volunteer your way into a paid opportunity.
It is. It is. And we've got just a little bit more coming up towards the end of the hour, so keep it here. It's This Feeling by the Chainsmokers. Well, I just want to thank you, Chris Bridges, for coming in and sharing all this employment readiness information with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And I'll see you, what is it, next month?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.